Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I mean, is this just Friday?
Okay, it's F it Fridays.
Whatever's
been on your heart and you've been needing to get off your chest, we don't want you to carry this until the weekend or carry it on to next week. So just F it.
Yeah,
two tears in a bucket, uck it.
Yep, tell us about it. 800-919-3776. I mean, we were all complaining about the trains yesterday. Did you see my little back and forth with the LIRR? Because, I mean, it was bad yesterday. And it was like you could tell it was building up frustration over the week because they changed the schedules. They have this new Grand Central Terminal. And while the terminal, they really celebrate it. It looks beautiful and all the – I haven't been there, but it looks beautiful with pictures and everything. And
like
it's like
anything.
But all of us now refugees at, you know, Penn Station that are like, yo, where's my damn train? Oh, we took those away. They're now going to Grand Central. Why don't you go there? Because I don't want to go there.
Exactly.
I'm over here, right? See. So the platforms are packed. People are getting off of Jamaica like, what am I doing here? What are you doing here? I don't know why I'm here. Usually I just go straight home. Now I got to get off here. So it just was madness, right? So I just, along with a lot of other people, I tweeted at the LIRR about it. And I just, well, because, you know, like sometimes you just want answers.
Yeah.
We want answers.
Yeah. You want the truth?
None of us can handle the truth.
Truth is, there ain't nothing you could do about it. Just
it
like they raised the toes, you got to take it. You got to take it straight, no chaser.
It is. It does feel helpless, right? So I just said this. I just said, hey, LIRR. Why is my commute now unnecessarily complicated? Why are there less trains? Why are there shorter trains causing crowded cars? Penn Station suddenly seems like a stepchild. And I said this, and you might like this. You're managing this like Mike McCarthy handles a two-minute drill. Let's reassess, please. Right? And I thought maybe just make it a little funny, but just let them know I'm a little pissed off, right?
Yeah.
So they responded.
They did? Get out of here.
They did.
That just tell you they ain't doing no work for
people. Well, I mean, the social media person is not driving a train, right? They're handling the social media. But the response was this is great. Hey, Alan, we hear you. We're closely watching ridership and customer feedback with our new schedules. We have a few changes in the works that will hopefully improve things and have us performing like this season's New York Knicks. How do you like that?
That is great. They got a suggestion box.
But the fact that they, like, referenced the Knicks with me is like, I'm like, all right, you got me.
So they knew. They knew. They're like, we know you, Alan.
Well, I mean, I gotta get things done for my people, right? I mean, my Long Island people that are out here sending pictures, they don't get responses, but I gotta go with a little Mike McCarthy reference and I let them know, hey.
You don't wanna be like that Dallas, you know what I'm saying? That's sacrilegious here, you know what I'm saying? You can't be acting like you put that in there. That hurt their feelings deep.
So we get the response. So now we'll see by next week if things change. So, you know, like, so again, we're all venting yesterday. Today's a good day to vent, Bart, right? Today's a good day. It's an effort Friday for us. And I think it's a good day for people to vent. And that's what we're going to do today. You're just going to vent. And I'm going to ask a question that we won't get to right now. But I'm going to ask a question is when is it too early in spring training to get excited about a prospect?
Oh, this is equivalent to like preseason, the guy that get like three sacks with the owner backups.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, wait, remember Strebler?
Yeah, Strebler.
It's like, oh my God, we got to start this guy. He's unbelievable. Like that. But I think Anthony Volpe is a little bit better than Strebler.
We start going to see. He's like, yeah, not so much.
Right. The minute he puts him in there, the crowd. I was at that game when they put him in that Thursday night game against Jacksonville. He comes in, we're like, yeah. And then like three players hit, we're like, nah, never mind.
It was like Bobby Boucher getting all like, why is his shoulder pad so big? Because I'm running more than I'm throwing.
But anyways, but you and I talked about this yesterday. We've kind of been on opposite sides of this whole story.
Mm-hmm.
But the guessing game about Daniel Jones is starting to maybe get some answers.
Yeah.
And there's some clarity now in what we believe he's going to be looking for. So, remember, he used to be a CAA guy, but he's switched now. He's with Athletes First.
And you only switch for what reason? Why do you switch agents?
Well, because you don't like what CAA is probably doing for you, and you want somebody to get you more money.
Right.
Yeah, you want somebody that's going to,
it's
Athletes
the thing.
First,
they gotta,
put me
they,
first and yeah. get me the most I can get.
Because here's the deal. You had to be happy with them because guess what they did for you? They got you picked 6 overall.
Good point. At a Duke.
So it's not like Daniel Jones has made more money than he expected to make. He didn't expect to get drafted 6.
Mm.
So it's nothing that they could have done opposed to saying, hey, Daniel, maybe you should probably, you know, take this. This is a good deal. This is New York. You can win. No, I want the money. It had to be something like that. You're fired because that's the only reason you fired him. Or you're not happy
with the prioritization of your free agency. Maybe you just didn't feel like they were putting me
first. Hold on. Stop it. Let me tell you something about quarterbacks in the whole free agent market. Mm-hmm. Any agent knows that I don't care if you got the best defensive end, best defensive tackle. If you got an average quarterback, you're going to get more commission off of an average quarterback than you are going to get off of a great position player in any other position. Because guess what? $30 million a year is a discount for a quarterback. That's record-breaking for any other position. So I don't think it's not about him getting – I think they were maybe telling him a little bit of the truth and saying, hey, Daniel – maybe, and this is speculation, but this is just me looking from the outside.
But you've been in these conversations. You've been in these conversations.
Because there's no reason to fire him unless your people are telling you, your dad, your circle outside of your agent is saying, hey, man, you probably should take this, right? Because guess what? You're in New York, and, like, you can be a star. You got the coach that you need and telling him all the things that are logical. And he's like, no, I think I deserve to get this. And I'm sure CAA is like, yo, dude, you threw 15 touchdown passes. Mm. I'm sure that's what they're saying.
I don't know what it was about.
They're probably saying don't overplay your hand, Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I actually think we can find out. CAA is not too far away from me. I mean, I think we could reach out and figure out what the hell happened there. But so how about this? So Pro Football Talk a little bit ago was the one that brought up the idea that Daniel Jones would be looking for as much as $45 million per year or more. All right, now what we know, remember you and I were kicking that around, and I was saying, that's too damn high. Pat Leonard of the Daily News is now saying that he's hearing that they're asking, this is the new agent now that they have, Athletes First, are asking for more than $45 million per year on a long-term deal.
Oh, they might want 5 or 6. Long term means 5 or 6.
So think about that. So the outline of that would then suggest: is it possible that they just go non-exclusive franchise tag? Now you got till Tuesday to get that done.
You know
what
that
would be a 1 year, $32 million, which obviously isn't going to hit the number he's looking for. But I think that's a little more in reality.
If you want to get greedy, you put the non-exclusive tag in and hope some dummy comes and gives you 2 first-round draft picks for him. Right. And now you end up with 3 first-round draft picks, and guess what you can do? Hey, Derek Carr.
We'll get to Derek Carr in a moment.
No, but what I'm saying is it's a way to listen, I've seen Ozzie Newsome masterclass. I've seen Howie Roseman masterclass. We're going to see what Shane is all about. Because if you say, hey, Daniel Jones has lost his damn mind, and you're talking to Dayball, you understand that Jimmy G is the same comp. You understand that Derek Carr is the same comp, right? So you have options. If some dumb team wants to give you 2 first-round draft picks so they can pay Daniel Jones, then that allows you to have 3 first-round draft picks. Listen to what I'm saying to you. 3 first-round draft picks and a quarterback that's going to take us. What was the report? What did we report yesterday about what we thought Derek Carr contract was going to be? What did we say?
What did you say?
We said in the 30s. No.
The Jets were going to offer in the 30s. Yeah.
So if the Jets are going to offer him 30, just imagine if the Giants offer him 30 and they get 2 first-round draft picks to have 3 first-round draft picks. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Doesn't that sound like you played the system the right way? That would be amazing. That would be hitting for the cycle for Joe Shane. Right? Last year was about Daboll proving what he can do. Last year, Joe Shane couldn't do a lot because they were strapped with salary cap. They had to lose Bradberry, and they had to cut Blake Martinez and all that stuff because of the bad contracts of Dave Gettleman. But that would be a master class. If you can flip Daniel Jones into 2 first-round draft picks and end up with Jimmy G or David Carr, that's how you do it. That's how you master, because guess what? That gives you 3 players to go out and get somebody to replace Leonard Williams. Because now I can cut Leonard Williams. You know what I'm saying? Because I can take 3 and take 2, move up, and get Carter, who might fall a little bit or something like that. See, that's what you have to consider. What players have to understand is it's always a price. You know how Ted DiBiase and the Million Dollar Man just say everybody's got a price?
Mm-hmm.
Every GM has a price where they say, you know what, this is too juicy to walk. I can walk away from this player now.
Well, especially,
and I think Daniel Jones is teetering with that.
Especially when, you know, as you've said a lot about the Giants, even during – last season, which was such a revelation of a season for them, as you kept saying, you better enjoy this because there's a lot of cap issues that are ahead for this team, and it includes Daniel Jones and the quarterback situation, and that it could strap you from improving on this season. And a contract like that, when you have all the needs that they have, could certainly do that. But, I mean, it doesn't sound like they are at any type of impasse, at least as yet. If you listen to Dan Graziano, okay, he was on KJM this morning, and he said this.
They have met with the agent many times here. They're in real discussions that are, I think, making progress. So I think the sense I was getting yesterday was that there was some optimism, you know, work to be done, but some optimism that maybe if it continues this way, that a deal could be done by Tuesday.
The deal done by Tuesday. Remember, Tuesday is when the franchise tags begin.
Right.
And he would be somebody that would be on that, that could be somebody
that they
tag. I thought
that's when it ends. Is that when it ends? I thought that when it ends. March 7th is when it ends, right? Because they've already placed the franchise tag on.
No, the deadline, right? Isn't that the deadline?
Yeah, it's the deadline. Yeah. Okay, that's
what I'm saying. Like, you got to know by then, right? That's when you decide to do it.
And that may mean the mass exodus for Saquon Barkley if they have to use that tag, right? Because remember.
Well, it's funny you say that because that's literally what Ian Rappaport was talking about on NFL Network in regards to if one happens, then the result obviously for Saquon is pretty obvious.
You know, they're not there yet. It's a tough negotiation. It's really a difficult thing to figure out what is the price of Daniel Jones. Obviously successful, led a team to the playoffs. Stats aren't there, but also didn't have any weapons besides Saquon Barkley, who, if they get a deal done, Barkley will get tagged. So figuring out his price has been difficult, but they're working at it. Several hours a day over the last couple of days, back at it again today. He has a new agency in Athletes First. The Giants have been working with them, not around the clock, but I would say a significant amount of hours the last couple of days, just to try to see, can they get this done before the tag deadline? Again, not there yet, but maybe a little more optimism for the Giants than, say, for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson.
So if they do that, then Saquon Barkley gets tagged, which is the easier thing to do.
Yeah, but listen, we're assuming – listen, this is what people don't realize. I don't care if you're the nicest guy in the world. When it comes to money and contracts, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Listen, you find out people's true colors. You're like, man, I can't believe he's acting like this. And all he's going to do is put on his agent. He's going to say, the agent's going to say, let me do my job, right? The agent's going to say, let me do my job. And most players, especially if you just hired a guy, is going to let you sit back, right? And he's going to let you go to work. So they're going to be the bad guy. And, you know, the GM's going to try and call you because I've had it. GM call you like, come on, Bart, what's going on? You know, like, and you get a person like, nah, man, this is business.
What's weird is, too, like the different thing here is, of course, Joe Shane only knows Daniel Jones for a year.
And he don't care about him like
for
that.
For like a season. It's not like Dave Gettleman, hey, I drafted you, I've been around you. You know, this is a lot different when isn't that more of a personal relationship that you could do something like that with. And let's get on the same page. The only thing that you could work there is, of course, if – you know, John Mara, Steve Tisch got involved.
How about I saved you?
Well, that's Dayball.
And, like, what it is, and do you have, like, have you spoken to Saquon? Because we're going to lose Saquon if you can't do this. How about we make it where, you know, in a couple of years, we'll pay you. Let's do a Dak Prescott short-term deal where your cap number is so high in the, after the third year that, you know, we have to give you a new deal or we can't afford you anymore.
Let me ask you, Bart.
Daniel Jones got, you know, listen, you got some King Kongs.
You've always been a fan, right? You've always been a guy that believed in Daniel Jones, even during the worst of times for him.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, you've always said, no, this guy's got something. Like, you always said that. You as a defensive player, you see that stuff in quarterbacks.
Yep.
But I'm going to ask you directly, and I'll ask everybody else, 800-919-3776 for the Giants fans that are listening. Is he worth it? Now, don't tell me about the market. Don't tell me about, you know, the next price up, the next man up. I'm not saying that. As a player, what you've seen from him at this point of his career, is he worth it to the Giants to bite the bullet and give him, again, the rumors are 45, it's over 45 mm-hmm. a year. Out of, what is it, a 200 and what? $220 million cap?
24.
What is that? 224, right? Is Daniel Jones worth that to the Giants where the Giants are right now?
I think he is. Simply because the options are Jimmy G, right? Let's say, okay, well, people say you can just plug in Jimmy G. Or you say, hey, you can just plug in Derek Carr. The difference between Daniel Jones is he's the modern-day quarterback. He can give you something that those other quarterbacks can't get you. Like, he's a great pocket passer. He's accurate down the field. He's only 25 years old. So you want to say that his prime should be another 10 years, right? And you're trying to tell Daniel Jones that, hey, man, you're going to get another contract. You're like, this just a, this your middle contract. But Daniel Jones is saying, hey, man, listen, I gave you – I was a big part of this running game. I wasn't just a quarterback, right? I was able to give you, you know, rushing yards, right? Daniel Jones, you know what, rushed for – he rushed for like 600 yards, I believe. I got to figure out. Oh, yeah, he rushed for almost damn near 700 yards.
No, yeah.
He just – so he rushed for 700 yards.
Yeah.
So he's telling you, listen, when things break down and if – I'm part of your run game too. So I'm not – you know how like you have these tight ends that play receiver and they split most, but they try to pay him as a tight end. Like, no. I spend a lot of time at receiver, bro. So, like, Daniel Jones can add that to his cap. Like, hey, man, I'm the modern-day quarterback. So if you lose Daniel Jones, not only do you lose – his productivity as far as his 3,200 yards passing, which isn't great, but you also lose his 700 yards rushing, which means you got to try and get that 700 yards from somewhere. Is Saquon Barkley going to rush for 2,000? Because he rushed for 1,300, so now you're 700 short. So you have to ask yourself, is the combination of Daniel Jones and another running back more effective than Saquon Barkley and Jimmy G? And I always say Daniel Jones, because of his youth, he's still being molded. Daniel Jones, because of his ability to run the football and be a modern-day quarterback, I think his value is more important than Saquon. So if you have to lose Saquon Barkley, you're a little upset with Daniel Jones because you lose a fan favorite. But you also say, you know what? He's the quarterback. And right now, Daniel Jones to me is right at Kirk Cousins level. But at the end of the day, Kirk Cousins can never go up. Daniel Jones can improve. See, that's what I'm saying. Like,
okay.
So he's Daniel Jones is Kirk Cousins. He's Jimmy G right now.
You're talking about level now. You're not comparing them as players.
Right, I'm saying level.
You're saying they belong in quarterback tiers.
Yeah, he's sitting around 15, 16, right around that third tier. But he can move up to a second tier, right? Imagine what we saw. From year one to year two with Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Can Daniel Jones not run the ball just as good as Jalen Hurts?
Well, he's been proven to be a guy that's very effective when he runs the ball. That's why the comparison's like a knockoff version of Josh Allen.
Yeah, but he can run. Would you be surprised if they get a better offensive line if Daniel Jones rushes for 1,000 yards?
1,000 yards?
He's at 700. What's 300 more yards if you have a great offensive line?
Is that what you want from your quarterback?
It's not what you want, but the ability to do that means that the RPO game is real. Like, because this is the thing about Daniel Jones. He's really a traditional quarterback, right? He's a big, tall, 6'5", in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Sit back, scan the field, throw the ball down the field, throw the ball on time, great arm talent. But then he gives you that element that you can't teach.
Like, he's fast but not elusive, I think. Isn't that fair to say? He's pretty fast. I don't know. I wouldn't call him elusive, though.
But I tell you what. You know who else is not elusive? Jalen Hurts. He's a straight-line guy, too.
He's strong as hell. That's the difference there.
But he's still not as big as Daniel Jones.
No. Not as tall. So, right.
And so I
just don't know. If I'm paying a guy $45 million, do I really want him running the ball that much? I'd like it as a – see, to me – that's the other part of it. You're selling the skill set, that's what you should do on that side. On the agent side, you sell the skill set. Oh, man, he could do this, he could do that. But I'm looking at it as I'm giving you $45 million. I need you available. And if we're going to talk about how much you're going to run the ball.
Well, tell me this.
I'd rather that just be a weapon that is there that keeps the defense honest, but it's not going to be something I'm making like a main focal point, like what Justin Fields became in Chicago.
Well, tell me this. Daniel Jones has rushed the ball 292 times in his career. How many games has he missed?
He's been pretty durable.
So what are we talking about then?
But he's also young.
So what are we talking about then? Right? If he gives you all that, he doesn't get knocked out. He gets out and he slides or gets out and he trips when he gets up to 21 miles an hour.
We did see that.
Right.
Yeah, we did see him trip.
But he got up to damn near 22 miles an hour. So I think because he looks
all right,
like
so
a
your
dude
answer
that wears
to doctors, this, yes. just to be clear. Your answer is yes, he is worth it.
Yes, and this is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And this is what our listeners have to consider.
All right, well, let's see what they have to say. 800-919-3776. We begin with William in Manhattan. Go ahead, William.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. I love how Bob breaks everything down. You guys are the you guys are the best. Bob with the football, Han, you break down basketball to the T. Love it.
Appreciate it.
But I disagree with the Daniel Jones thing, man, and I'm a Giants fan. I believe blue. But $45 million, and if you do that, Bob, you said earlier in the year, we might lose players on the defensive side. We might lose Saquon. So what are we going to get from him if we do that? I should say rebuild, like you said, at the beginning of the year, and we just take it from there.
So,
thank you, guys.
So, William, don't go nowhere, William. William.
Oh,
so,
what's up?
I need to ask you this. So if that's the case, if you're saying rebuild, that means you go from – making the playoffs and going to the second round to not going. That's what we're talking about? Because Dallas is going to get better. Washington is going
to
get better.
I think you're going to have to go that route, but, Bart. It's like you said, like we overachieved this this past year. So now what are we going to do? We're going to cut Leonard Williams, right? We're going to have to pay
him. No, you restructure Leonard Williams, and you
order
the cap hit. But this is the thing.
And what are we going to do with Dexter Lawrence? We got to pay him too, right?
You just tag him. No, you pick up his fifth-year option, just like Quinnen Williams and with the Jets. He's not a free agent. So what you also do is when you look at it, you have to ask yourself: do you want is Saquon Barkley that important? Is a 26-year-old
Well, that's what you're
back.
Telling us. This whole thing, your whole thing about Daniel Jones is more about Saquon than it is Daniel Jones.
Yes.
Like you're saying, I'd rather give him the money and keep him and secure all that and then have to tell Saquon, you know, find somewhere else to go because
Giants,
we're not going to pay you.
Yeah, Giants' love affair with a often injured running back is amazing because I told you, even with him getting all that productivity last year, it's right there with most rookies that came in.
Yeah,
Brees Hall would have had a better year. Kenneth Walker had a better year. Like, Pierce, right? All the best running backs in the league weren't first-round draft picks.
No, you have said that. Let's continue with the calls. Let's go to Lewis in the car on this. Go ahead, Lewis.
Hey, okay. Thanks for having me on, guys. I call all the time. I always end up listening to you guys on my phone because I don't want my car radio to mess up the show. But I want to go back to touch on that whole Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley thing. First and foremost, when they got Daniel Jones, everybody was like, oh, Daniel Jones, he sucks. And I'm like, nah, there's something with this kid. He can run, he can throw. There's something with him. And we had Saquon. I love Saquon. You know what I'm saying? But now Daniel Jones has one good season, and now we're saying, oh, we need to pay him $40 million and all this other stuff because we missed out on doing the fifth-year signing. My thing is this. I love Daniel Jones and all that, but why is it that they automatically saying he got to get this much money off of one season? Like, they're just saying, okay, he's not going to fall back. He's not going to do what he did the previous season.
Jalen Hurts.
Automatically just thinking that. Like, we just automatically just saying that's going to happen. And the other thing with Saquon Barkley, I just want to say one more thing and let me go. The other thing with Saquon Barkley is, Saquon Barkley is not just a regular run-of-the-mill running back. Yeah, we drafted him too high, all that, but if we wouldn't have drafted him there, somebody else definitely would have snatched him up. Because he's just a running back. Oh, he does a lot of great things on the football field.
Is he Christian McCaffrey? Is he Christian McCaffrey?
He's on that level. He's on
right.
that level.
What happened to Christian McCaffrey? What happened to Christian McCaffrey?
They traded him. They did. And what happened with the team? What happened to the team they traded him to? If it wasn't for Brock Purdy getting hurt, they might have beat the Eagles because of adding Christian McCaffrey.
But
this is my whole thing. We're on a team that don't even have weapons as it is. And to just say we're going to just get rid of one of our best weapons, that's kind of crazy thinking within itself. I wish there was a way we could figure out. I know we can't because the way the contract and things are set up, we can't figure it out. We're going to have to pay somebody, and we're going to end up losing somebody, and it's going to be sad. But I just wish we could just keep both of them. That's my whole point.
Blame Dave Gettleman
for paying Leonard Williams that type of money, for bringing in Blake Martinez, for bringing in Kenny Galladay. Blame them.
Yeah.
But no, the reality is running backs don't age well.
No.
And you're talking about a running back that's already been injured 3 out of the 5 years. You think as you get older and you take more hits, you get more healthier? Who is he, Frank Gore? He's the only dude that got healthier as he got older.
It's amazing too, right? 800-919-3776. We'll continue with your calls on this topic, of course, because you can hear the passion already in the Giants fans. You might have to make a choice. And that's the worst part. When they're homegrown players, you get two of them and they grow up together and they finally start to show some of their potential. You got a decision to make because you can't keep everybody. And I've always, that's my biggest complaint about the hard cap. No, it always drives me crazy.
It's the beauty of the hard cap.
It's the beauty, but it's also the frustration of it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
De La Soul did a celebration, obviously, of Dave, who passed away. But everybody came out. And if you, Bart, did you see any videos? Have you seen anything from the show?
I didn't. They all showed up and showed out.
I mean, it was unbelievable. Like, the whole generation showed up, and it was wild.
That's why I love that. Especially so the old hip hop man, they show up for each other, and they unfortunately kind of get into that age where, like, we lose some great ones a little bit too early. Yeah. We lost Biz Markie, you know what I mean? We lose a couple people early, but they always represent and show, because these are the forefront, the fathers of hip hop. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's finally, like, hip hop's 50 this year, right? So that talks about everybody else and how they aging, man, and it's. It's great to watch them age gracefully, and, you know, seeing Rakim sometimes and seeing some of the OGs, man, because they don't get the credit that they deserve, and they didn't make the money that the other guys made. But, man, I'm glad when we pay homage to them. So I love things like that.
Yeah. And now, I mean, you know, the voice you heard there coming in, obviously that's Tribe Called Quest, and that's Fife Dog, who's not with us anymore either, speaking of somebody not with us. But that generation of music, and De La Soul, a big part of that, you know, it's just something, like I said, it's a shame, like you said, that we have to wait for someone to pass away for us to recognize them or to think about great memories of what that music brought. But the celebration last night, like, from everything I saw, the place was packed. Now, it was free. But the people that came out on stage, the stars that were there, it was unbelievable. So... just a cool thing that happened last night in New York City. 800-919-3776 is the number. Before we get into the Jets side of things on the whole quarterback story, let's continue on the Giants side. If you're just joining us, so reports the Daily News saying that the idea that Daniel Jones is looking for $45 million or more, go with the or more, because that's what they're reporting, is that they're hearing that that's what he's looking for. And I just asked Bart a simple question. Had nothing to do with the market and what quarterbacks are being paid, all this stuff. I just said simply, is he worth it? When you consider all the residual effect of him getting a contract like that could have on the roster, involving Dexter Lawrence, involving Saquon Barkley, involving getting wide receiver help that they desperately need. And Bart said, yes, he is. Jeff in Long Island. Jeff, how are you feeling about this?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I think that the Giants have a little bit more leverage with this franchise tag looming over the contract, not only because no player wants to play on the franchise tag, but – that's $32 million guaranteed against the cap this year. So if he's going to bet on himself and play under the franchise tag, that's $32 million less for them to get support around him. So what kind of a statistical year is he going to come off? A, they're not playing the AFC South again, so their schedule is harder. Mm-hmm. B, Saquon's gone at that point, no franchise tag. And, you know, I think that could draw the negotiations a little bit closer. This 40-45 number, too. Yeah, it's a big, scary number, but a long-term deal, they can structure. It can be 15 against the cap this year, 25 next year. It's about the guaranteed money. It's about void years. They can get creative with it. So,
what are you saying? Are you saying you think they should give them the money?
I think they should give him the money. I think they can get something done in the middle, but I don't think 40 is a non-starter. Like, wait till Justin Herbert signs a contract. What's Jalen Hurts going to get? Like, in 3 years, you know, the cap, it's not going to look that bad.
Jeff, you're spot on because, mm-hmm. like, when Patrick Mahomes got, you know, $450 million, now he's the fifth or sixth highest paid quarterback in the league. So it's one of those things. Like, see, what people don't realize is the salary cap's going up. So 45 is really the new 40.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, they have to understand that. And they still have ability, even they put him on a franchise tag, because they've made the cuts to Kenny Galladay. They got wiggle room. And I believe Leonard Williams is going to be, you know, in line for a restructuring.
Before you
know it, now, right on time, remember, Andrew Thomas is about to be up, and he's playing excellent now. Like, he gave mm-hmm. you three bum years, and then now he's playing like he's one of the highest-rated tackles.
So he figured it out. Right.
Figured it out right on time. Before you know it, Evan Neal's right behind him. You know, so you have to try and get some of these guys signed earlier than later. And
yeah, they didn't do that with Daniel Jones, right? Daniel Jones, they let it go right to the fifth-year option because they wanted to assess, and now they got to face free agency, which is different. You know?
Yeah, and with the cap going up too, I've been seeing that with the revenue from the sports gambling coming in, like it's going to jump in the next 2 to 3 years. Like they're going to
obviously all the broadcast deals. You know,
yeah,
we're going to have
a $60 million quarterback before it's all said and done, and that might be Trevor Lawrence if he continues on the trajectory. You think Burrow's going to? Because only a certain amount of quarterbacks that have the cachet to set the market,
mm-hmm.
right? So we know that Justin Herbert is going to reportedly get 5 years, $49 million a year, and I think that number is at $49.6 million a year. So that means Lamar Jackson is going to get more than that. So that means Jalen Hurts may get equal to that, right? And then that means Joe Burrow is going to say, I'm better than all of them. And then Patrick Mahomes is going to say, hey, I just won a two-time MVP. I think I need more annual a year. And it probably ends up at like $58 million a year. And then if Trevor Lawrence, you know, balls out, he's the only guy that got the cachet to take it past there. But I think in 2 to 3 years, or I think in 2 years, we'll have a $60 million a year quarterback.
Well, I mean, if the cap keeps going up, of course, right? That's still the most valuable position.
Not even about the cap. Because if I'm better than the guy that got paid last or just as good, then I have to get paid more. That's just how it is. It's how it's always been.
So on the other side of things in this town, there's the Jets. And the Jets situation, Bart, is a wait-and-see, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're in that wait-and-see mode with the Jets. It is on, like Derek, all the conversation around Derek Carr just feel like, and we've heard this, Jeremy Fowler was saying this recently as well, is that the Saints are ready now. Like, they're ready to commit. They're all in on Derek Carr. They got the relationship there already. He's already visited with them, but he's met with the Jets. Do you find it interesting that if Derek Carr has in the bank a deal to go to with a coach he already knows, to a franchise like New Orleans in that division, which is, I mean, you could argue it's pretty much up for grabs.
Yep.
The fact that he's saying, I'm going to just hit pause on this for a minute. What does that tell you?
That tells you that he wants to make sure that once the Aaron Rodgers saga is over, that he's mm-hmm. the last one standing, and then that he can be able to have opportunities to be like the pretty girl in the room now, right? He's the most eligible bachelor in the room. And until you do that, because right now he knows that he's not the Jets' first priority, but he knows if Aaron Rodgers goes back to Green Bay, that he becomes the Jets' first priority, which gives him leverage against the Saints, which gives them also leverage with the Panthers because the Panthers reportedly met with them too. So you have to ask yourself, like for him, playing a waiting game is actually smart because guess what? Also, some of these guys are going to get paid money. So then, you know, he's going to look at all the guys that get paid money and the market going up and his value is only going to go up. I think patience is a virtue right now for him because if you go sign something, it could cost you $4 to $5 million annually. Once, like, all these markets get set with the five quarterbacks that we know are about to get paid.
So you want to see what the market sets before you sign as a free agent?
Yeah.
Period is really still to come. But I find it interesting, though, that because there weren't the reports that the Jets were giving – like, they were saying, the most people are going to do is, like, 30.
Yeah, but if he's the only guy there and everybody knows they got to get a veteran quarterback and Ryan Tannehill's not available, who the hell are they going to sign? That 30 becomes, you're going to give me whatever you want because the mandate is for the Jets to get a veteran quarterback that can play at a high level if he's the only one left and he's like, nah, I'm good. Then what are you going to do?
I thought you were going to go with what you were telling me off the air, which is the situation in New Orleans might not be as palpable for him. Let's be honest. Derek Carr can't go – like, he could go to certain franchises that might pay him more, but, like, if the cupboard's bare,
yeah,
how bad does it look for him? And I mean, you got to be at a point if you're Derek Carr where you're like, all right, I do want to get paid, but I got to do some winning in this league.
Yeah.
Because and he hasn't really done that. Yeah. And then Vegas has just been a disaster for him, obviously, on many levels, where it's coaching changes and people changing, and then what happened last year, even worse. So I'm wondering if he sees the Jets as a better opportunity, despite the fact that they aren't offering him maybe as much as he thought he could get. And he might say, you know what, though? That could make me money down the road if I go there and actually get my career on track when it comes to winning, because they got some talent there that I can work with. And so I'm willing to wait instead of taking the sure thing in New Orleans. I'll wait out Aaron Rodgers, because if he decides whatever he's doing and it doesn't end up being the Jets – he might be the Jets' second choice, but the Jets might be his first choice. That's what I'm reading out of this, Bart.
Yeah, because you look at Kirk Cousins, right? When Kirk Cousins came up after the guaranteed three-year deal, they were like, we got to sign him. Who else we going to get?
The Jets.
Right? No. Kirk Cousins, Minnesota. So Minnesota.
Do you remember that whole thing was the Jets were giving him 30 a year, which at that time was a ridiculous amount of money. And he was hedging on that. Because it was all like Minnesota wouldn't go there.
Right.
Remember, Minnesota wouldn't go to that number. And remember when they had that audio of him and his wife talking about it. And all he wanted was Minnesota to get a little bit closer. And he was going there because that was a better opportunity for him.
Right.
To win. They had more talent. And I think the Derek Carr thing might be the same situation, where the Saints are the Jets in this story and the Jets are the Vikings.
It's exactly that, right? And because, listen – Cam Jordan is getting older. DeMario Davis is older. Tyrann Mathews is older. Michael Thomas can't stay healthy.
And he might be on the move. You never know.
Right. Michael Thomas.
Alvin Kamara has been in some trouble.
Right. So, like, you look at that. Like, the Jets are a cheap young team that he can grow into, because he wants – listen, he's a quarterback. He's 30 years old. He's expecting probably to play another 7, right? So that means he may get this and an extension. So why would I want to go to a place where the cover is going to be bare in 2 years and all I'm stuck with is Chris Olave and, you know, Trevor Penny? They got some okay players, but they already walked away and lost Marcus Williams last year because they couldn't afford him to the Ravens. Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting story going on there. One of our experts believes, though, on the Rodgers side of things, that we might have some conclusion pretty soon, because what he's seeing tells us that Rodgers – might not be going back to Green Bay.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The Daisy Experience. But Dave Chappelle was there.
He's
Chappelle. Chappelle did like a little set, and then they did a countdown to midnight when they were going to drop the thing. Queen Latifah was there performing on stage. Now, you know what she's been doing lately has been it feels like she's so far away from her days when she was in hip hop, right?
But it never goes away, though. Her, LL.
Her, Moni Love, they were together. They performed.
Common
was there. And Chuck D. KRS-One. Q-Tip, we played him before. And then you had, of course, all the DJs. D-Nice, Red Alert, Clark Kent. Like, it was...
Damn, I should have went.
I told you. You and I were in the studio. I'm like...
Why didn't you go? Why didn't you convince me?
Because it was a little bit later. And you know me, I'm old.
You come for the first part?
Like, I'd be there in the beginning. I'd miss all the good stuff.
Yeah.
But Chuck put some pictures out, and I was like, man, I should have went. He laughed at me because I told him I'm old. But it's like... I also, you know me, in that room, I'd be the guy that's like, who doesn't? One of these things do not look like the other. One of these things do not belong.
You'd be sitting there with Bob. What's our boy name? The comedian?
I don't know.
That loves hip-hop.
There's a lot of them.
No, you're talking about the comedian, man. That's talking about the white comedian that always be getting in beefs and stuff.
Oh, Michael Rappaport.
Yeah, Michael Rappaport.
Yeah. Well, he'd be there, but he wouldn't care. He wouldn't care that he didn't look the part.
You just
but
say,
I mean, you look
at
me
and
my with you know again with my nice hair and like I can't like you put me in that. Everybody look at me like, are you lost?
Come here with your nice hair. What? Your starched collar.
What? Exactly.
Your slacks. What?
What?
Your penny
your slacks.
Loafers. What?
You call them slacks?
Your hush puppies. What?
What?
Your hair gel. What?
What? You and your L.A. looks.
But you better have
hair
bars.
Gel looking all crispy. Oh, my God. It's true, but you I don't know. Bars. Like, now I really regret not being there.
Hey, you know what's funny? You know how we talk about it was like some reports that, hey, the Jets are even considering, like, what would happen if they have to go try and get Geno Smith, right? Because we know that, you know, we know that Seattle could potentially move up. Right, because they have two first-round draft picks. If it's a guy that they think is a guy, right, and they got their young team, and they got and Geno was supposed to be the this was supposed to be the reset year. It's supposed to be a rebuild year, and they lucked up and killed the draft. But how about Geno Smith back to the Giants? Like all possibilities, all things. Listen, we always say it sounds crazy until it happens. It is so many different scenarios out there.
You understand that every time you do that. Every time you do that.
Give him the gas face.
That's what a Jets or Giants fan does. You understand that, right? Like when you bring up the idea of the alternative is Geno Smith under center week one, we cannot find a single Jets or Giants fan that'll be like, yeah, I'll do that.
But who played better last year? Geno Smith?
I understand, but you realize, though, the optics of that ain't selling anything.
Well, the optics could be a indication of the future, right? Because we're talking about, hey, we can't come up with a long-term deal for Daniel Jones, so he may be out of there. Then the it could be another quarterback that leaves your franchise that goes and become a great player. Same for the Jets, right? You know, what if you say, okay, well, we're going to go get Derek Carr, so this means that Zach Wilson is gone. He sits behind somebody for a while, and he becomes Geno Smith.
If Derek Carr leads me to I wouldn't feel that way. The only thing that makes me feel like the Jets
years.
Would – Yeah, if he sucks, it's a problem. And you're right. But I still hold on to the – and that's why, Bart, that's why the Aaron Rodgers stuff
makes
is
sense.
Something I am willing to dig in on and wait it out because this, to me, is the only chance. Like here, Dan Orlovsky, our good friend from ESPN Radio – and the indications he's getting about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
I feel like Aaron Rodgers is done with the Packers. And I feel like the Packers are done with Aaron Rodgers. And I feel like that's okay. It's time. It's time for both parties. It's time hearing Gutekunst, their general manager's comments about Jordan Love. It just feels like they both are ready to go their separate ways. I think if Aaron wants to keep playing football, which I do think he is going to do, those teams that are interested in having him play have to make it very clear. You're all in or you're not. And, you know, we want you, but not. We don't want 50% of you. You are going to be here, and you're going to be a part of our offseason program. Because here's the thing that's most important, us winning, not you playing well.
Yeah, and us winning is really you have the best chance of that with a guy like that. And Bart, that's why the Jets just sit there and wait.
You can't tell Aaron Rodgers he got to come, like him go to OTAs,
and stuff.
Like what are you talking about? Like it's going to be people.
Well, you could tell him. Doesn't mean he's going to do it.
Exactly. Oh, you're going to be here. You can't tell me what the hell I'm gonna do, man. Like I come to what's mandatory. Mm-hmm. Like listen, and like Aaron Rodgers is going to say, listen, last year was my worst year of my career. And it's usually the average of other people's career. Don't you ever disrespect me and tell me you got to be 100% in.
If like, I were the wide
I'm
receivers,
100% in.
See, to me, if I'm like Garrett Wilson.
You're going to fly out to him.
That's what I would do.
You fly to him.
I would bug him. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? We're going to join you. Not like you organize it. If I were the wide receivers, I would say, like, that's how you're a leader. If you're Garrett Wilson, you're a leader. You go, hey, Elijah Moore. And everybody else.
How many receivers do we even have now?
I only know of two.
Because we're going to cut Braxton Berrios.
Is Denzel Mims gone?
Nah, he's still on the contract.
All right, so Mims. So those three at the very least. And
Conklin.
I would tell him, you know what? Let's get together and let's go find him. And we're going to go wherever he is. If he's shooting a week worth of Jeopardy in Hollywood.
Well, I'm there. Well, you
can. We're there, and we'll find a field. And hey, Aaron, when you're off air, you come and join us, and we're going to be at this field working out. Come throw to us. Yeah, like, that's have, right. Why would you wait for him to decide it?
Yeah, you decide. Twist my arm for that one. You don't have to twist my arm for that one.
To go to Hollywood.
Come out to L.A.
We'll go out to L.A.
Sorry. Us and all the receivers, and Zach Wilson will probably – the crazy thing is Zach Wilson will probably be out there too.
Why not? That's what I'm saying. If you want that to happen, instead of always saying you got to come here, no, man, we'll go to you.
Yeah.
We'll go to you.
Because Zach Wilson will probably be right there as well.
800-919-3776 is the number. We'll keep the calls rolling on the quarterback conversation because also some controversy in Baltimore, Bart, that we got to keep an eye on as well as – you know, things happening there with the Ravens. We'll know by Tuesday also about the Lamar Jackson situation. Maybe he suddenly becomes part of the Jet conversation. But I want to ask this question. I asked it at the top of the hour. I'm going to ask it as we get into the second hour. Is it too early to be excited about a prospect during spring training?
Oh, God.
Because, as Gettleman once said, I'm in full bloom love.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.